One touch of his gentle hand. to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we take this opportunity to welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today here at Lindsay Street Church. We appreciate you and the effort you've made to come out and be with us today. We have some that's not been here in a long time. We have some that's not ever been here before. So we give you a hearty invitation, and we hope you'll feel like you're among friends, and you'll receive something that'll make you want to come back. Of course, we have come to worship our wonderful Savior and our Lord and Master, and that is our heart's desire, is that we might be blessed in the Spirit to render unto Him praise, thanksgiving, adoration, and all the glory, for He alone is worthy of that. He suffered terribly for our sins, that He might put them away and never to be remembered against us anymore. And we're here with hearts of thanksgiving for that, and want to render unto Him all the praise and honor and glory for His wonderful blessings that He's bestowed upon us. Sin is a terrible thing. And if you don't believe it, just count the graveyards you go by when you go home today. That's why they're there. And that's a terrible thing. It separates us from our wonderful God. He said, your sins have separated you from your God. And that's exactly what they've done. But then He came as our sin barrier. He's our scapegoat. He bore them for us. Wonderful indeed. My wife sends her love to the church here. She loves church at Reedsville, and she has a gout. And if you've ever had that, you know what it is. It's terrible. And so she just didn't think she could make it. But she sends her love. And is there any other sickness that we need to make mention of? Or any requests for prayer?
My wife just operated on before yesterday. That's where my wife is. Remember her, she has cancer.
Elder World's wife's sister has just been operated on with cancer, and that's where Sister World is with her today. And we want to remember her. And Elder Duggins. Elder Duggan spilt some boiling water all over him from his waist down, and terrible burns. And he's having a hard recovery to get over that, so we want to remember him. I've turned to number 103 as an opening hymn, and you may stand as you sing, and as we go to the Lord in prayer. We covet an interest in your prayers. Hope you'll be blessed to pray with us and for us as we try to lead in prayer.
Lord, oh, hear our prayer, kindly for thy people care. We on thee alone depend, love and save us to the end. Save us in the prosperous hour from the flaring tempter's power, from his unsuspected wile, from the world's pernicious smile. Dependence vain on the help of feeble man. Every arm of flesh removed, stay us on eternal love. Save us from the great and wise till they sing in their own eye, till they nothing know beside Jesus. find.
We're glad to have Elder World and Elder Gibbons with us today. This is our communion meeting, and Brother Wayne just had a mind to come and be with us, and we've been announcing Elder World would be with us for a good while, and we're thankful that both of these brethren are able to be here. Brother World's had an operation and on his back and has been laid up for a while, but he's able to be here today, for which we're thankful. And if you will, just bow with us. It's my custom normally to get on my knees when I pray, but people say that my voice is low and they can't hear me, so I'll just stay where you can hear over the mic. Bow with us. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we humbly bow in thy presence, desire to thank thee, our Father, for thy tender mercies and the loving kindnesses that thou hast abounded towards us through thy darling Son and our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear Lord, we thank thee that thou wast willing to suffer in our room instead, to come into this low ground of sin and sorrow, to bear our sins to the cruel cross of the tree, that they might be sewed up in a bag as it was and thrown in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against us anymore. Dear Lord, how will we ever thank thee and praise thee enough for thy wonderful, merciful blessings? Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy church, for the kingdom of God that's here in the world, for the lot and the part that thou hast given us in it. And this day, as we've assembled ourselves together to worship and to praise thy great and wonderful name, we pray, dear Lord, that we would receive the leadership and the unerring leadership of thy Spirit, that we might, O Lord, render true worship and praise to thee in spirit and in truth, that we might have fellowship with thee and with one another, that we might rejoice in thy love and in thy grace that we've believed that thou hast bestowed upon us. And Lord, as we see the turmoil that's brewing in this world, we're thankful, O God, for this wonderful country that thou hast blessed above all the countries in the world. Lord, sometimes we feel guilty to sit at home in peace and comfort when we see so much destruction and hatred and war and bitterness in the world. How we thank thee, dear Lord, for this little haven over here that we might live in peace. And Lord, we pray that thou would continue to protect us. We have enemies that have declared they would delight in destroying our lives and make us subservient unto their gods and to their way of life. Dear Lord, we pray that for thy name's sake and for thy cause's sake, that thou might preserve us, that thy name might be exalted above every name that's named in heaven and in earth. Dear Lord, we thank thee again for thy church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth that sets our souls free from the cunning craftiness of men that lie in wait to deceive and to entrap. Lord, we thank thee for thy wonderful blessings. And now, Lord, we pray thou would bless this congregation, that we in one spirit might worship and praise thee, that Brother World and Brother Wayne Gibbons might bring forth the truth and love, and that we might, O Lord, rejoice in thy truth and in thy wondrous grace. Lord, we pray for our rulers, our leaders. We pray for those that are defending our freedoms with their lives in foreign soil, and all that's our bounden duty to pray for. Lord, we pray for Sister World, Sister, and for those that have been mentioned here today. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless according to the riches of thy mercy and grace, for we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Wayne, we're going to ask you to come, if you will, first, and Brother Gleason to follow. The Lord bless you.
Bless you. Truly, I hope we thank the Lord, we should be, for the blessing to be here today. And I thank God, most precious, thank God, for the prayer by Elder Draper. Yeah, told Elder Draper I just had a desire to come and be with the brethren. Of course, they've been good to come up and visit with us. And of course, and pay the respects, and I just had it on my mind, of course, desire to come and be with you. And hope pray a few moments before you that my desire is to say something would most of all be the honor and glory and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and maybe to your comfort and your edification. Apostle Paul told Timothy, you know, to rightly divide the word of truth. He didn't say divide it from Mary, but rightly divide the word of truth. So my prayer is, that's my desire, that I might be blessed to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And, you know, there's a lot of things taught in the world, and of course, you know, the truth is, there is on both sides, but truth is in the middle. Of course, I wouldn't advise you to say go down the middle of the road, because that's not the way to drive. But the truth is in the middle. And of course, you know, you can take the Bible and just skip here and then skip there, and of course, you can teach most anything you want to. And of course, I have heard that there was some denominations that even 13-year-olds that had their lesson up could drown you if you didn't have yours up. So they take the scriptures and jump here and jump there, you know. And of course, things like you say what they want to, but when you rightly divide, take the scriptures as a whole, I mean, it won't work that way. You know that when the world today, you know, that well, they tell that man's got to preach the gospel, and of course by hearing the gospel and obeying the gospel, then you'll be saved in hell and more glory. But you can't take the scriptures and teach that, because over in 1 John, you know, over there, that it tells you there in verse 27, second chapter, he's talking about that anointed thing. He says that anointed thing that's within you shall teach you all things, and you need not any man teach you. You know, and of course, with the Bible plainly teaches us, and over here in Romans 10, you know, he says, with the heart man believeth. With the heart man believeth. The word believeth. You know, a lot of people mixed up on that word believeth. You know, that's what's over in John 3:16. It says, God so loved the world. Now, that's a particular world. There's a lot of worlds taught in the Bible. And of course, and that's another subject too. There's a lot of worlds talking in the Bible. You know, the Lord even told those wicked Jews, he said, you of this world, I'm from above. I'm not of this world, but you of this world. So when he talks about worlds, he talks about a particular world, you know. And of course, he told us, he said, I pray not for the world, but for them which I just give me out of the world. So there's different worlds. So John 3:16 is a particular world. And it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the word believeth is the man does with his heart. You know, a preacher cannot able you to believe. So he tells us over, he said, that anointed thing that's within, that is within you shall teach you all things, and you need not any man teach you. So the Holy Spirit is able to teach heart. That's the only way that the heart can be taught. That's the only way the heart can be able to believe us. But you can go over here in the 10th chapter of Romans, you know, over there. And, of course, over there in the 10th chapter of Romans, it's talking about, that, you know, in the Bible, there's a kingdom, that eternal kingdom, that God's, every one of God's children, every one that he loved, everyone was given him to come before the foundation of the world, everyone that he died for, they will live with there with him. They'll be with him, be like him, be satisfied. Everyone that he died for, somewhere between... They may never hear a preacher. They may never never see the written words of God. But somewhere between conception and death, they will hear the still small voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And they'll all live with him in heaven more glory, that kingdom of fire. But he also set up a kingdom here in this world for his honor and for his glory and for his praise. And, of course, enables a people of God. You know, of course, you know, one time we as Gentiles was, of course, we were without hope and without God in the world. That didn't mean there was no children of God amongst the Gentiles. There was children of God amongst the Gentiles. And of course, when they died, their soul and spirit got carried home to be with God in glory. But what it meant was that they was out the gospel. They was out the knowledge here in this world. They was out the knowledge. I was out the gospel. And of course, you know, that's what hope is. Of course, it's the knowledge. He's our hope. Of course, he's our hope. And of course, us having the knowledge of it, we have that hope. So us having the knowledge of that he died for our sins and, of course, went back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of Majesty on high. Of course, he's coming back some of these days and, of course, to take his children home to ever be with him. So that's our hope. You know, the Bible teaches us to, you know, to look for that blessed hope, live soberly, righteousness in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. But God, you know, one time the gospel was hid from the Gentiles, but it came a time that he enabled them to hear it, able to understand, to have the knowledge of the gospel. So, you know, therefore he called the people, he called on the people of God, the people. Some people out of his family of God, he calls upon them, and of course he calls them out of darkness. We were in darkness. He calls them out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praise of him that's called us. So we find over here, and of course in Romans 10, you know, over there, you know, they're talking about the kingdom here in this world. And a while ago, as I mentioned over there in John, little John, or we call it, you know, second chapter, and of course, you know, second chapter, 27th verse, you know, that talking about that anointed thing that teaches you, that's within you, he'll teach you all things, and you need not any man teach you. Well, to enable the heart to believe us, that's of the Lord. Man can't do that. They don't need no man there. But over here in the 10th chapter of Romans, you know, said, for he tells us in the 12th verse, for there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. That's talking about calling upon him and his kingdom here in this world. And of course, you know, he tells us in Matthew 11:27, you know, that he's talking to God's children. God's children that have a desire, God's children that have a delight and able to hear and has a burden to serve him, to take up the cross and follow him. And he says, you know, to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. So that's talking to God's children. You know, that we find over in 1 Corinthians, you know, we tell us over there, and he says, we preach Christ under Jew a stumbling block, under the natural Jew a stumbling block, under the natural Greek foolishness, but under them which are called, both Jew and Greek, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. So God calls the people out of darkness, out of the family of God, calls them out of darkness into his marvelous light. They should show forth the praise of him that called them here in this world. That's in God's kingdom, here in the church of the true and living God. So here he's talking about in God's kingdom. So he says, for no difference between the Jew and Greek, the same Lord rich unto them that call upon his name. For who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And of course, how shall they call in him whom they not believe? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, if you didn't rightly divide that, then the Bible would contradict itself. Over there in that, like I said, that one place, it says, that anointed thing is talking about the Holy Spirit, the God of glory. Of course, you know, they're three in one. Shall teach you all things. You don't need no man to teach you. That's talking about the heart. And that's the only way a child of God can believe us. The word believe us. That's the only way he's going to believe us. See, John 3:16 is a security text. That's a security text. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, you see. The word believe us. And that's the only way he's going to believe us. He, of course, you know, tells us here in the same chapter, he said, with the heart, man believeth. But here it's talking about believing, you know. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord, you know, of course, shall be saved, you know. And how shall he believe unless he hear? How shall he hear without a preacher? So you got to right divide the word of truth in order to, you know, don't the Bible contradict itself. And like I say, you know, there's more than one world taught in the Bible. There's more than one works taught in the Bible, though. Of course, you know, we're learning Ephesians. He tells us, for by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself, not of works lest any man should boast. That's talking about our eternal salvation. But, you know, in Philippians 2:12, he said to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling for God that worketh in you both to will and do. He said, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling for God that worketh in you both to will and do. It is a good pleasure. So There's different kinds of works taught in the Bible, and there's different worlds, and of course there's different kinds of saving. I mean, first, God saving his children eternally, and of course being saved in God's kingdom here in this world by being able to hear the man of God, the man that God has called, man that's been born again, of course, that's been called of God, been ordained in heaven. Of course, you know we ordain them here in the church, here in the world, but all we do is just recognize what God's already done. God's already done. So God's already worked. And of course, when a child of God is able to hear the gospel and understand the gospel and rejoice in the gospel and give praise and honor and glory to God, God's already done a work in his heart. Not only is he born again in his spirit, but he's enabled the child of God to believe it, to believe it within the heart. So you certainly got to right divide the word of truth. And so we know very well that eternal saving is of the Lord. And of course, you know this, and the Bible will plainly prove that, because you find over in, of course, one place in the 23rd chapter of Luke, you know, the story of there of the dying thief, you know. And of course, you know, one time they were both railing on Christ. They were both of them were railing on Christ. And of course, but in the end there, we know the one on the right hand, he called him Lord. He said, Lord, Lord. Now, who taught him he was Lord? He taught him he was. He was one time railing on him, you know, just like the other one was. He was railing on him. But in the end, he called him Lord. So there were no preachers around. In fact, the truth about it, you know, the people around the foot of the cross was saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So, you don't need no man. You don't need no preacher in order to take care of that part. The brother told me a story. That, of course, Elder Draper knows this brother, so I'd call his name. He told me a story this last week, this past week. Elder Bowman and myself, we went and visited him, and he told us me a story. He said, you know, about when he was I don't know how young he was, but back years and years ago, you know, he had a real bad habit. He was an alcoholic, you know. And, of course, you'd be surprised how much he told he drank in the day. And, of course, just one Sunday morning, his wife and, of course, his son and, of course, his mother-in-law, they got in the vehicle, you know, and, of course, we went off to meeting, which, you know, I don't know what type of meeting it was. It was not Old Baptist, but that's what they was attending at that time. But anyhow, he starts down to the out shed, outbuilding to get his religion. He will now get his religion. And he said he was going along there, and Brother Keith, he said, between one step and another, about that time, his wife and son and mother-in-law came along, and he said he wanted to catch that car so bad he couldn't understand it. He just couldn't understand it. Well, he didn't finish going to where he was going. The next time he went down there, he went down and poured out every bit he had. And, of course, the next Sunday, he got ready to go to a meeting. And, you know, the meeting that they went to, and he got ready, of course. His wife, he didn't tell his wife nothing, and of course, had a brand new car, had 52,000 miles on it, and went down there to get it, and get in it to go to meeting, you know, and it wouldn't start. So he had an old truck that the springs and the seats, you know, was all wore out, the springs were sticking up in it, and he went and got a quilt, spread it over that, and his wife got in there and drove, and of course, his son and his mother-in-law, he got in the back. Well, they went on down to the meeting house, and of course, they were singing a song, and he got up, and they thought he was going out, and he went up to the preacher, and he went up there to the preacher, and said, I want to say something. Of course, the preacher tried to get him down at the mourner's mess. You know, he thought he wanted to be saved. He said, no, I'm saved already. I'm already saved. I just want to tell people what the Lord done for him. So, of course, from that day on, God began to work. Of course, it came a time that he left that place. And, of course, when he went out that door, he said, first, he's concerned, they could bar it, put steel bars over, because he wasn't going back. And, of course, he told his wife, and, of course, his wife said the same thing. Of course, he prayed. He began to pray. He said, Lord, whatever price it is, cost me, it'll show me the truth. He wanted to know the truth, you know. He had a desire to live in God's kingdom here in the world. And, you know, there was strong evidence as far as he was a child of God. And he'd done been born again in the Spirit. That didn't take man. And man had no part with that. But he had a desire to hear the truth. He had a desire to worship God in spirit and truth here in the world. So he began to pray to God, God, whatever the price is. He said, whatever the price is, I'll pay it if you'll just show me the truth. Well, the Lord did his own good time. Of course, one day he happened to, he was drove an old road scrape, and of course he was going down the road, and he met, happened to see this dear old lady, which was a dear sister of God, a dear sister in Christ, a sister in church, happened to see her standing at the mailbox, and he stopped and talking to her. Well, first thing you know, he stayed there about 2 or 3 hours, sitting right there in the middle of the road, talking about salvation by the grace of God. See, God works and none can hinder. He hinders and none can work. So, I mean, for his eternity, God takes care of that part. He takes care of his people living in heaven more glory. And he also enables God's children to believe within the heart. See, what the preacher, when he's blessed to preach the gospel, all he does is just bring the light. He just brings the light, what God's already put in here. He put in here. So, you know, I quoted that chapter over in Matthew a while ago. He said, well, you know, where it come unto me all at labor. Up before then, you know, he says, he hides it from the wise and the prudent and reveals it unto babes. Even so far, it seemed good in eyesight. See, God's children, in order to come in God's kingdom, they got to come as babes. He goes on further in that same chapter, you know, in Matthew there. And, of course, you know, he talks about setting a little child in his midst. And he tells them, unless you come as a little child, you should no wise enter in the kingdom of God. So God's children, they come in God's kingdom, they become like babes, you know. Because you take a little baby, you know, when it's born in this world, you got to feed it. You got to dress it, you know, clothe it, bathe it. You got to do everything for it, right? It's got life, but you got to do everything for it. It depends on its mother, of course, its mother and its heavenly father. And that's the way a child of God, and when they come into the church of the true and living God, they no longer trust in what they've done. There's no trust whatsoever, you know, what they've done. Apostle Paul said, without him, I can do nothing. So they no longer trust in what they've done, but they trust in the true and living God. You know, they come as a little child. They help us. For anything they could do to help themselves in God's kingdom or saving themselves in heaven and more glory, there is nothing. You know, of course, they're just nothing. That's come as a little child. So he hides it from and reveals it unto the babe, you know, reveals it unto us. So when God reveals it unto them, and of course they've been taught within the heart, and then they're able to hear the preacher, then they have a desire to hear the preacher, they have a desire to take up the cross and follow the Lord in baptism, and therefore the preacher can save them. I mean, you know, they can preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can save them in God's kingdom here in this world. So, you know, I know very well that you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. I mean, some people get on one ditch on one side, some another. You know, some say that God just does everything. You know, everything you do in this world, God predestinated. God moves you into it, you know. You know, any of your brothers, you talk to people like that. But on the other side, you know, you got to help the Lord, you know. You got to help the Lord. Like the man going along through the state of Arkansas, you know, he said, come up to this old brother sitting on the porch. He said, taking that money for the Lord. The old brother said, well, I didn't know the Lord was in need. And the kid, I read in the Bible where the Lord owns the gold, the wolf, and the cattle of 1,000 hills. Says, if he's in need, why don't he sell some of them cows? He didn't know the Lord was in need. See, they think they ought to help the Lord. But you got to divide the word of God, the word of truth, the words of truth, rather, which is the written word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in order to give him honor and glory and praise. That's my desire. I know it's yours. To give God the honor, give God the glory, and God to praise. There's a middle ground. I even talking about the other day about the Lord coming back. See, even some of our brethren, it bothers me when they say, well, the Lord, nobody knows when the Lord's coming. That's right, nobody knows. But they, you know, they kind of have a negative attitude. You know, the Lord may not come back in 15,000 years or 40,000 years. I don't have that kind of attitude, Elder Draper. I mean, if you separated your dear wife and had no way to get back there, and somebody offered you to take you, how soon would you want to go? I know you love her. I know you love your family. Well, we're supposed to love the Lord. And our attitude ought to be to be with God just as soon as we could, be with our elder brother. Huh? Peter said not only we should be looking for that blessed hope, but we ought to be hastening. And of course, and you know, I've used this before, you know, anytime it may have a loved one laying here on this front pew and they real sick, real bad sick, and of course there's some medicine down here in the drugstore would make that loved one well, and we should send one of these brothers down there to get it. Whoever who's maybe a mother or a father or a wife or a husband of that dear loved one, you think they wouldn't only be looking for him coming by? They'd be hastening coming. So let's take on what's wrong with the Bible. What's wrong with what God's word says about it? the Lord coming back. I know he says that no man knoweth. I know that. I know very well. But it's at the same time we ought to be looking. And a man gets up in the stand and says, Lord, come back in 40,000 years, 15,000 years. He can't convince me. He's looking. He's looking. Like I say, if a man has separated his loved ones, he wants to be with us. So that's my desire. My desire to try to take what God's word says about it, the right divide, the word of truth, that it might give honor and glory and praise to our Lord. Say, I know I'm nothing. I'm unlearned, and it ain't no use to me to stand up here and try to make you feel sorry for me or something other. But to my desire, my heart's desire, if I can say anything, I want to say something that gives honor and glory and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's the only way. That's the only way. Without that, I'm nothing. I'm just nothing. Dead in trespasses and sin, was doomed for a devil's hell without the mercies and grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your Lord, I hope he's mine. And I want to give him honor and give him glory and praise. May God bless you and keep you in my prayer. In your name's name.
I was not in charge of making the arrangements, but I was appointed to go next, and I ask that you have a prayer for me. Elder Draper prayed for the welfare of the church as we meet here, that we come for a purpose, that we might maintain the purity of the church as it was established. Elder Gibbons has talked about the benefits of the knowledge of the scriptures, that we have been caused to understand